This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Powered by U Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. The World Health Organization has estimated that roughly one in six people experience infertility, with little difference between high, middle, or even low-income countries. With that, it's not surprising that there has been a boom in fertility care. Today, we speak to soon-to-be-listed Alpha IVF, which aims to rectify this growing issue with its assisted reproductive services in Malaysia and Singapore. Their founder and group managing director, Datuk Dr. Colin Lee, joins. Congratulations on your listing. I believe it's tomorrow, Gong Day. So it's not a small exercise with an implied market capitalization of $1.5 billion. So my question is, why list on the ACE market as opposed to the main market on Bursa, especially since the profit test of at least 20 million ringgit for 3 years is just within sight? You just wait a little bit longer and you can move to the main market.
Yeah. Well, precisely, when we first started going into this exercise of getting listed, our numbers were not that great because it was pandemic times. Mm. So we were advised that it's better to play safe and go to the ACE market. However, the last few years, we had seen tremendous growth in our numbers. And now we are actually qualified to be listed on the main market, but we are really en route to ACE.
So it's nothing to do with the fact that for ACE, the threshold is more flexible and it's a sponsored-led market?
No, not because of that.
Okay, and this is not your first rodeo when it comes to capital markets, right? So as you would know, that most funds are not eligible to invest in ACE-listed market. When I mean most funds, maybe like insurance companies, some of the larger asset management companies. So I suppose, you know, a move to the main market is impending?
Well, we don't have plans for that yet, but if we meet the requirements, we would certainly consider.
Okay, because Bursa does have this new accelerated transfer rules, right? I'm sure you'll be taking advantage of that soon.
Yeah, we will certainly look at it when the time comes.
Now, Dato, I looked at the details of the listing. Are you cashing out, though? Because there's an offer for sale of more than a billion shares, with your portion coming in at 531 million shares. And based on the IPO price of 32 cents, you're taking home 17 million ringgit tomorrow.
Well, certainly not cashing out. In fact, I would say that I'm married to Alpha IVF, and we have a big marriage celebration tomorrow night, 500 over people coming to celebrate it. Well, none of us are cashing out. In fact, our commitment to the company is such that we even park a high percentage of our shares into a special purpose vehicle. We call that our solidarity fund, where if any of us were to leave the company within the next 8 years, we will forfeit all the entire amount that we put into it.
Okay.
And not only that, all of us will sign at least a 5-year bond upon IPO, so that we are going to be around for at least 8 years and probably forever. Thank you.
So you're fully committed to this business?
Absolutely.
Okay, so a total of 116 million ringgit will be raised via this exercise, which also boggles me, Dato, because for FY 2022, the profit was 22.5 million. Then for FY 2023, 41.9 million. Results came out just a few days ago. And for the first half of 24, it's close to 26 million. I'm just going to analyze this. I'm sure there might be some seasonality. Mm. And if you analyze it, it's 52 million. So why bother to list when the amount raised is just slightly more than 2 years of profit? And I'm assuming even no growth in 2025, which I'm sure is not the case. So why go for listing then?
Well, very good question. I've been asked that many times. Well, first of all, we have employees. We have doctors and nurses and support staff that have been with us for years. When I say years, we are looking at 10 over years, 20 over years, some of them. And it's high time that we give them some ownership in the company, and also to reward them and also to keep them, so that they can be, it's a part of the sustainability of people capital within our company. But on top of that, we find that going listing will give us better visibility and also positioning, especially when we expand beyond our borders. So these are some of the reasons why we want to seek listing. With the additional proceeds that come in through the listing, it will certainly enable us to expand in a way that is a lot more meaningful compared to just using internally generated funds.
Yeah, but even if you needed more cash, I'm sure looking at your financials, any banker in town will be happy to bankroll you, right? Cash flow generation is strong. You're a business that has gross profit margins of 55%. And corporate finance tells me debt is cheaper source of funding than equity. So what am I missing here other than, I mean, or is listing really part of the process for you, an important part of the growth of Alpha IVF?
Well, for those reasons that I had mentioned, yes. And certainly going forward, we also want to use the platform of being listed to extend our very efficient services, our very high pregnancy rates, our comprehensive range of fertility treatment options to even a wider market so as to benefit those people who have fertility problems. As you stated correctly, fertility problem is just rising and more people need our services.
Okay, so 116 million will be raised. There are already two assisted reproductive services centres here in Malaysia with another two in works. I know 32 million will be set aside for it. But how soon are you going to get it up and ready? Because I'm going to assume that whatever approvals you need from the Ministry of Health is not easy to obtain. And you can't just set up a specialist centre overnight, can you?
We can't. The process normally takes a good at least 9 months to a year. So our commitment is to get one more centre by the end of the next financial year and another one the year after. That's for local centres. For overseas, we are already in process to start one outside of Malaysia, and we expect to do another one the following year as well.
Okay, so this is in Bali, is it?
Well, the first one we had announced, we are now working on the definitive agreements, having been awarded to operate the Centre of Excellence in Fertility in Bali. We are pleased to say that many top IVF centres from around the world bidded to operate that centre in the special economic zone of Bali, and that Alpha bid the rest so that we are actually chosen to run that Centre of Excellence.
That's what I'm curious. What is the payback period for a centre? How soon can you cover your costs, and actually, you know, even then, what's the rate of return?
Well, it depends. Most of the centres have set up in the past. We have EBITDA positive in the first quarter itself. And very often, this is also PAT positive in the very first quarter. It depends on how we set it up. And I will endeavour to use a similar formula going forward.
So you can even maybe everything cover your costs all within a year? That's possible?
Yes.
Okay. And how urgent is it to build these centres? Because I want to know how the centres are already running. Are they at maximum capacity, those two centres in Selangor, Penang and Singapore?
Well, the centres that we have now, which are two in Malaysia and one in Singapore, they still have excess capacity to grow. The one in Kuala Lumpur, which is located at the Strand in Kota Damansara, that one has a capacity to operate 4,000 IVF cycles per annum. Currently, we are doing about 1,006. Okay. So we can scale up an additional 150%. The one in Penang has a capacity for about 2,100 cases. It's now doing about 1,002, meaning that it can scale up by another about 90%. Whereas in Singapore, the capacity is capable of handling up to 1,000 IVF cycles. At the moment, it's doing less than 300. So the one in Singapore can triple up.
Okay.
To accommodate the increased demand in the coming years.
So these centres haven't reached maximum capacity. Is it because it's just very competitive? Because I went online and I typed IVF and I saw many centres offering this. Really, how competitive is the environment out there? Is it priced to perfection in terms of, do people compete on service? Do the people compete on pricing?
Well, we talk about fertility services. We talk about customers who come to a fertility centre. What do they want? They want a baby. So the most important consideration when people go to a fertility centre is their pregnancy rates. How likely are they going to leave the place with a baby in their arms? And this is the main and the primary factor. And people are prepared to pay a premium if the pregnancy rates can justify it.
And you offer that?
We offer that.
And you charge a premium also.
We charge a premium because of that.
How much higher are your rates of conceiving versus industry average?
Well, it depends. If we talk about our Penang Centre, it's actually way below the average in terms of pricing. But the one in Kuala Lumpur, the one in Kota Damansara, that one charges a premium of anything from single digit to up to 15% compared to other centres. And but the good thing is that we deliver back in terms of increased pregnancy rates, so that there's actually a better value for money and certainly saving a lot of time, not just for the wife, but also for the husband as well. So time cost savings and less disappointment is something that you cannot even pay for.
Have you got a success rate? Do you measure that? Is that a way to know?
Yeah, success rates depend on numerator and denominator, and also depend on your sample size and so on. So as a guide, depending on the sampling, our success rate go up to above 80% in patients who are good prognosis.
Okay, because that sounds very high. I mean, I've heard it's as low as 30% for some people. But I'm curious, Alpha can build new centres. You can buy and install the latest medical equipment, but still a service industry, right? Mm. Where doctors, embryologists, nurses are the centre of any treatment, be it whether it's IVF, ovarian rejuvenation. Is getting and retaining your team a challenge? Because you've got, 77 medical staff at the moment?
Yes, retaining people capital is always very important because, as you rightly pointed out, this is a people-based industry. And not just that, it also depends on a very skillful labour force, in particular doctors and the embryologists. And in that respect, I'll go back to your earlier question, why do we lease? And one of the reasons is that we want to give ownership to all our key people, and also that will help in retaining them as well. Of course, beyond that, we are in a business where they have a lot of joy and satisfaction in seeing the fruits of their labour when another baby is born, another pregnancy is recorded. And this is satisfaction that they really treasure, especially in our case because the pregnancy rates are so high. They seldom have to deal with failure. Most of the time, they deal with happy, joyful situations. That will certainly give the kind of job satisfaction that people nowadays often look for.
And you have to pay them more? Because getting babies is one thing, but salaries is another thing, right? And I'm sure that other hospitals are also fighting for the same pool of talent.
It's true. We do pay them above market, yeah.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Dato' Dr. Colin Lee, founder and group MD of the soon-to-be-listed Alpha IVF. After the break, is this IPO overvalued and the ethics surrounding IVF? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where in the hot seat this morning is Dato' Dr. Colin Lee, founder and group managing director of soon-to-be-listed Alpha IVF. Before the break, we asked why this company is choosing to list when the cash flow generation is so strong, and are the shareholders cashing out via the offer for sale? Dato', I want to talk about the, you know, children, wanting to have children but not being able to can be such an emotional journey for couples, right? And the cost of IVF, not cheap. You already said your services are premium, partially because your success rate is high. But the WHO also warns, and I quote their Director of Sexual and Reproductive Health and Research, Dr. Pascal Alote, that millions of people face catastrophic healthcare costs after seeking treatment for infertility, making this a major equity issue and all too often a medical poverty trap for those affected. So what process is in place to avoid this at Alpha IVF, where you're a listed company, so profit is a priority?
Well, our business ethos is always this, that we always put our patients first. And as doctors, this whole company is all run and owned primarily by doctors. Well, our ethos is that we do our best for the patients. We give them what they want, which is a baby. And the business things will follow. So we are different from businessmen where profit is first. Everything is based on ROI and so on. We don't do that. We give our patients first.
All right. But then, you know, this industry is not without its accusations of unethical practices, right? I'm not saying you, but maybe some other clinics out there, especially pertaining to the commercialization of egg donation, because there's no real specific law or regulations in place. Should there be laws on a specific number of, let's say, embryo transfers or maternal age limits, for example, or compulsory counseling services? Do you think that the industry should move in that direction?
Well, certainly the industry is regulated by laws enacted by parliament in many countries. Malaysia is still working towards that process. In the meantime, there are guidelines and there are also professional guidelines within industry itself. And most of us, if not almost all, would follow that quite strictly.
Okay, and these are the MOH, National Assisted Reproductive Technology Policy, I presume. Those are a form of guidelines. And
yes, there are a few from MOH, from MMC and so on.
What about the provision of, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, gamete and embryo donations, which are prohibited? Because at one point, your clinic was offering it, right? And it was up to 10% of the revenue. So have you stopped that? I understand you stopped that, but is there the possibility of a fine or a penalty in that regard?
I think all this depends on the government policies, guidelines, and whatever that comes out from the government that changes from time to time. So we will adhere to whatever that is current, because these things do fluctuate, not just here, but in other countries, in Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Singapore, Europe, everywhere. The government is always modifying or changing their policies, very often at 180 degrees. So we just have to keep monitoring what is allowed and what is not allowed.
And we also know of cases where genetic testing of IVF embryos, a procedure known as pre-implantation genetic screening, or PGS, is used as a pretext or convenient excuse for justifying the sex selection in IVF treatment. Now, PGS is offered at Alpha IVF, but do you entertain requests from patients who ask for this?
Well, patients who come and see us primarily want to have a normal baby. So in fact, if you ask anyone who wants to get pregnant or get pregnant, their primary concern is my baby going to be normal? And we know that the majority of eggs are abnormal, because if a woman is 30 years old, her eggs are 31 years old. If a woman is 40 years old, her eggs are 41 years old. That is a fact. And if an egg has been around in the body for so long, they become abnormal. So that a 40-year-old woman, at least 90% of her eggs are actually abnormal. So when they eventually become embryos, the majority of embryos will be abnormal. So it only makes sense that we want to test whether the embryos are normal or not, rather than guessing and then taking a chance putting an embryo that has a 60-70% chance of being abnormal, which is the practice now if PGTA is not being offered. So when people understand the role of PGTA and how it can reduce not just abnormality rate but also reduce miscarriage rates, many patients will opt to have PGTA done for those reasons, not because they want a boy or a girl.
And you don't provide that service? You don't assist patients who ask for that? There's no playing God here?
No, we don't play God, because in fact, if we don't do that, I would say that you may be playing God, because you are denying patients an advancement in science and technology which are enabled to avoid having an abnormal baby or to reduce miscarriages. So we actually move with the times in terms of innovation, science and technology.
Okay, so Dato, let's talk about this IPO. It's oversubscribed. Congratulations, 2.73 times. And I saw some big cornerstone names, which is rather unusual for an ace company. You've got Value Partners, Eastspring, AHAM Asset Management. Now, IPO price is 32 cents. How do you think it will do tomorrow after you hit the gong at 9 a.m.?
Well, first of all, we are very honoured that many top cornerstone and also institutions are in, not just from Malaysia, but we also have top funds from Singapore, from Hong Kong, and one from the UK that is in our top nine investors. So we are privileged that they see value and they believe in our growth story. So in terms of our valuation, we need to understand that we are in a rapidly...
Because it's not cheap, right? Dato, is priced at 28 times. It's priced to perfection, I would say.
Well, let me explain why we deserve such a premium. Because in the first place, we are operating in a rapidly growing and evolving industry. And this industry has demonstrated resilience and consistent growth driven by various demographic and society factors such as delayed parenthood, increasing awareness and advancements in productive technologies and ever-increasing pregnancy rates. Secondly, Alpha IVF has established itself as a leader in innovation and high pregnancy rates within the fertility treatment industry. Our cutting-edge technologies is now very well known. And additional to that, our forward-looking strategies, including domestic and overseas expansions, further enhance our growth potential and attractiveness.
But what kind of, Dato, what kind of growth can you do? Because you already seen revenue and profit literally double in 2 years, right? So how much, you're coming from a much higher base. What kind of growth can we expect for, let's say, 2024, 2025 to justify this 28 times PE?
Well, certainly our growth going forward is going to be in the double digit. And we expect that for some years to come. And this is going to be partly driven with the IPO proceeds that will help in our I wouldn't even say aggressive growth campaign. It is pretty realistic.
Because I just looked at your half-year numbers. 80 million, that's the revenue, that's the top line. 160, I'm just going to analyze it. How much can you do for 2025, for example? I mean, is it going to double again? Is it going to go up by 20, 30%? Or even profit, which would then be, you're already coming in at about 50 million. How much more can we expect for the next 1 year?
In terms of growth, definitely. I think we'll see a very healthy double-digit numbers. If you are looking at doubling, I don't think so. We could have doubled earlier years because we were coming off the pandemic. But now, as you said, we are on a bigger base. So anything, I believe, in the double-digit growth numbers would be quite commendable and is achievable.
Okay, because you know people are always nervous when it comes to IPO. They think, oh, has this company front-loaded all their earnings? Is that, you know, because when I look at it, yeah, there's an exceptional jump in all these numbers, but yet at the same time, expenses have been remained relatively the same. So what do you say to detractors who view your accounts with suspicion?
I think they need to look at the margins, like from GP onwards, and we find that everything is consistent. And they, from there, they can see that there's no front loading. And also need to understand that off the original base of the two pandemic years, obviously growth would be substantial, especially with the return of our overseas patients. So in that respect, we are seeing a very strong return of our Indonesian patients to our centres. In fact, they would be exceeding pre-pandemic levels in the coming year. And we are also seeing a strong return of our China patients now that finally the borders are almost fully lifted from China. And there's now this visa-free entry. We will see a strong return of Chinese patients in the coming year.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Datuk Dr. Colin Lee, Founder and Group Managing Director of Alpha IVF. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.